Okay, this coming Erev Shabbos, we're going to celebrate the arrival of Parshios Vayakel Pekudei and the special maftir of Parshas HaChodesh, coupled with the special Machar Chodesh references. It's a very, very busy week. And we begin with Vayakel Moshe's Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. Moshe gathered all of Adas Yisrael together. Rashi explains that Moshe gathered the nation the day after Yom Kippur to tell him about the building of the Mishkan. But why was that gathering necessary? So Soloveitchik Zatzal noted that unlike the Ganav and the Gazlan, where we have two different types of thieves, where we treat the private person, the one who steals undercover, more severely than the public one, when it comes to Shabbos, the rule is the reverse. The one who is Mechalel Shabbos Befarhesia, the one who violates Shabbos in public, is deemed to be much worse. And the reason, Rav Soloveitchik explained, was that as far as the essence of Shabbos was concerned, Shabbos testifies to the fact that Hashem created the world. Public desecration of Shabbos is tantamount to apostasy. And thus Moshe Rabbeinu went to the entire people, Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael, the day after Yom Kippur, when the people would be able to bear witness, Das Yisrael equals Edim, to the sovereignty of Hashem over the world. He wanted them all to be able to offer testimony without being argued that they were Edim Sulim or other stuff in that regard. We're also told that after they were taught, they were given the message about Shabbos, they were told, take to go ahead and take Truma, no matter where they came from. Now, Rav Yankel Bender, Shalita, the Rosh HaYeshiva of Yeshivas Darchei Torah, a tremendously fantastic individual, and his brand new sefer quotes the Nov Minsker Zatzal, who noted that in the Mishkan we needed gold and silver, but we also needed Nechoshes, we also needed the copper. In other words, explains Rabbi Bender, Shalita, if one of the copper hooks is not in the right place, then the Mishkan is not complete, nor can it be replaced with gold or silver. The Rebbe added that a yeshiva is like the Mishkan. All types of students are needed to make it successful. Rabbi Bender added that we are all trying to build places for Shechina. We need to cherish every single person who's involved in that process, regardless of person, limitation, challenge, location, status, etc. And if you know anything about Rabbi Bender Shalita, you'll know, Na Dorish, Na Emekayim. We're told that Hanasiim Heviu, the Nasiim came along. But if you look at the spelling of the word Hanasiim, we are led to believe that there's a missing Yud. And Rashi notes that they lost the Yud since they were lazy in responding to the call to the pledge. But, says Rashi, it wasn't the standard laziness. They were just giving everyone a chance to get involved. So why do we punish them for giving everyone a chance to get involved? So the Brisker Rav explained that one doesn't make calculations when it comes to doing a mitzvah. If donating to the Mishkan was a mitzvah, then doing it should have been swift, not calculated. If they had time to make a cheshbon, they were not interested in rushing. So why were they given the chance to respond for the call for the gems, the Avnei Shoam and the Avnei Miluim, for the Ephod and the Choshen? So Rav David Soloveitchik Zatzal explained that the mitzvah to donate applied to the Mishkan, but the Big Day Kahuna didn't carry the same call for donation. The Big Day Kahuna were not given with the same sort of tzivoy, and so therefore they were given the permission to atone in that regard. We're told that as far as the process was concerned, that the malacha was dayam and hoser. It was enough, and it was even more. Now, there's an inherent contradiction in these two words. Either the people brought enough with them, or they brought too much. So which one is it? How are we supposed to look at it? So Remeir Shapiro Zatzal, the Lublina Rav, the famous founder of the Daf Yomi Mumin, explained that in terms of the amount donated, there was enough. In terms of the desire to give, the people desire to give much, much, much more. And we have to be aware of that. We have to put that together. Okay. HaMishkan, we then enter the Parshas Pekudei, and right there off the bat, we're told, Eilef Pekudei HaMishkan Mishkan HaIdos. We find HaMishkan Mishkan. If one doesn't know what he's reading, you think that it's an extra word, that it got repeated by accident. And Rashi notes that the term Mishkan is repeated twice here in order to hint to both Bati Mikdash that were destroyed because of our Averos. It follows that if we do tshuva, we merit the Beis HaMikdash and its rebuilding. Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shechter Shalita used to remind us often that this helps explain a difference in halacha in regard to the benching. That is to say, there's a discussion as to whether we should include the word berachamav when we make the bracha of the third bracha, birkas hamazon. Do we say bonei Yerushalayim amen, or do we say bonei berachamav Yerushalayim? And the Rama says use the word berachamav, but the Gura did not. So Mori Virabi Roshefta Shalita used to note that those following the opinion of the Gura hold that since the Beis HaMikdash was taken away because of our sins, when we do tshuva, Hashem promises He'll accept our tshuva. As such, it won't be an act of rachamim to return to the Mikdash. It'll just be a simple calculation, and that's justice. You deserve to have the Beis HaMikdash back, you get it. But if you don't deserve, you don't get it. So that's an act of din. Hashem will be mechuyev. He'll be obligated in these instances to give us back the Beis HaMikdash. And that is something that we hope for every single day. We're told, Vateichal kol avodas ha-mishkan, kol avodas mishkano amoed, vayasu b'nei Yisrael, kechol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe keinasu. We're told that all the work was completed, and then b'nei Yisrael did everything that Hashem commanded Moshe. The order seems to be reversed. It should highlight the fact that first b'nei Yisrael did as they were commanded, and only then was the work completed. So why does the Pasuk come and get it backwards? Why the change? So the late great Rav Dr. Abraham J. Tversky Zatzal quoted Ramban, who noted that B'nai Yisrael didn't really have the craftsmen skilled to complete the intricate work of the Mishkan. It was the help of Hashem that gave them the skills. And thus said Rabbi Tversky, the Pasuk is here to tell us that the work was completed by Hashem, but it was credited to a shlichim, to the people over here. Rabbi Tversky added that this is it's irresponsible to take responsibilities that we're not equipped to do. But when it comes to mitzvah performance, we need to give it our all in order for us to bring a mitzvah to completion. And so if sometimes we're stuck, we have a responsibility to make sure that we don't just walk away. We make it our business to give it our best shot. We're also told by Yachem Moshe HaMishkan, at the end of the whole process, it was Moshe Rabbeinu who had to establish the Mishkan. The Sforno comes along over here and he explains that 10 Yerios curtains were put up before the beams. Essentially, what we did was we put on the roof before the building itself. So how it stood is a matter of discussion as to whether this was miraculous or perhaps by some end pieces. But why was it necessary? Who puts on a roof before one puts up a building? Why the roof before the structure? So Reuven Feinstein Shalita explained that we need to always remember why it is that we're doing what we're doing before we do it. Once we know the goal, then we're ready to reach it. And that's the message over here. We have the roof. Once we reach out to get to the goal, then we'll be able to achieve it. Finally, we're going to read the Haftorah for Shabbos HaChodesh this week. That is a critical issue for us. And we're told at the beginning of the Haftorah, right there at the 46th parak of Sefer Yechezkel, the gates to the Azara were going to be opened, you know, on Shabbos and on Rosh Chodesh. So again, the great Rav Yigal Ariel Shalita explains that Rosh Chodesh became an important family celebration in the time of David HaMelech, as was declared by Yehonas unto King Shaul when he explained what was going on. Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin explained that there's a very important reason why it was specifically important to David HaMelech's family, that the reign of David HaMelech is often compared to the moon, and Rosh Chodesh was a time for renewal. And this is why we highlight David HaMelech at the time of Kiddush Levana. We find the same in the time of Elisha. And in this Haftorah, the Navi is using the opportunity that it was also the time that the other kings would have to shine on Rosh Chodesh on behalf of the people. Sometimes we look for that chance and we're waiting for that right before the dawn. It's often dark, but we just need to go ahead and look and hopefully to find. And so Be'ezus Hashem will achieve that when we make it our business. Wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom to all.